It is.
Okay. Meeting of the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs will come to order. It is now 1:12 p.m., April 10th, in room 120. Members present are Representative Grunberg, Representative Higgins, Representative Hughes, Representative Reinbold, Representative Sadler, and myself, Chairwoman Ledoux. Representative Foster is tied up, and therefore I'll be chairing this meeting today, even though it's about a bill which started out when he was chairing it. So we've got a quorum today. Please, everybody, turn off their cell phones because they disrupt our sound and our recording system. So today we are continuing our hearing on SJR 24, Veterans Health Administration Policies. And we have a committee substitute, and I'd entertain a motion to adopt that committee substitute so that we can go over the changes. Do I hear a motion?
You do. I move that committee adopt the committee substitute SGR 2428 LS 1412 Nancy, or N, as the working document.
Okay, and I'm going to object for purposes of discussion, and I would like to invite Paul LeBon up to explain the changes.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. With work draft document LS14112/N, we had legal adopt the conceptual amendments that were discussed in the previous hearing, along with an amendment that we had gotten from Representative Higgins' office. And so I'll just walk everybody through the changes. On page 2, line 9, a new whereas was added that the officials of the Veterans Health Administration facilities described, or their actions described in this resolution, ignored policies established by the VA regarding holiday practices and facilities.
Excuse me, what line are we on?
Line 9.
Okay, thank you.
And that inserts itself between the whereas currently above it and the one below it compared to the original version. Oh, I was just describing where in the context of the original resolution the new whereas was inserted.
Okay.
The next item we have is on line 21, the first therefore be it resolved. The language has been changed to read that the Alaska State Legislature condemns the actions of the Veterans Health Administration officials that prohibited religious holiday messages and gifts from being conveyed to veterans at the Veterans Health Administration facilities, and respectfully requests that the United States Veterans Affairs ensure that the violations of veterans' rights described in this resolution do not occur again. The next change is the language that we received from Representative Higgins' office. Before further resolve, the legislature finds it unconscionable that the established policies of the United States Secretary of Veterans Affairs on holiday practices at Veterans Health Administration facilities are being ignored, and respectfully request that the United States Secretary of Veterans Affairs follow the established policies on holiday practices at Veterans Health Administration facilities and train personnel on those policies so that the violations of veterans' rights described in this resolution do not occur again. The third amendment is a conforming amendment to, the third change is a conforming change to the first resolve. And that is changed to read The Alaska legislature respectfully requests that the United States Secretary of Veterans Affairs provide each member of the Alaska State Legislature with written assurance that the actions of the Veterans Health Administration officials described in this resolution do not reflect the policies on holiday practices at Veterans Health Administration facilities. Those are the changes. There's quite a bit of additional backup added to the document, so open for questions of the committee.
Thank you. Do we have any questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Grunberg.
You've gone a little fast for me. It sounds generally okay, but it looked at, now, the first one, if I may through the chair, please, Paul, that is on line 6 on page 2, right? That where it
line
is?
Line 9.
Line 9. Okay. And that it goes between, I'm looking, where does the, oh, I see, official state of the process. Oh, I see. You didn't change any of the other whereases around there.
That is correct, Representative.
Okay, I just had to find out where that was.
Although I did make a mistake in omitting one change that was also rolled into the CS under the copies section. On page 3, line 12, the Honorable Bernie Sanders, Chair of the U.S. Committee on Veterans Affairs, and the Honorable Richard Burr, ranking member on the U.S. Committee on Veterans Affairs, were also added of the list of members to be copied.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Not to him.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Mr. Lebol, this is obviously in response to an unfortunate situation in Texas. Do you have any more information as to whether similar practices or similar violations or ignoring of policy occurs at other Veterans Health Administration facilities anywhere else in the country or the world?
Representative Sadler, through the chair on that, I'd like to call on the lifeline, the staff to the bill sponsor.
Great.
For the record, Representative Sadler through the chair, this is Eric Holland. I'm representing Senator Huggins today. He was unable to make it. And to answer your question, sir, it occurred in 4 places. Texas is the main focus, but it also occurred in Augusta, Georgia, the VA center there, in Alabama, and Iowa City, Iowa. So there was 4 incidents over the holiday.
Okay. And I follow up, Venture. I just want to confirm for the record, any such incidences have come to your knowledge or not in Alaska?
Roger, through the chair, Representative Sadler, I did check with Alaska and there was no issue here in our state.
Glad to hear it.
The idea was to make sure that it didn't happen in the future. That was Senator Huggins' gist of the idea was to make sure that we didn't have that issue here and to address the issue in the lower 48.
Rather sounds like there's good policy in place, but just the execution of that policy is occasionally problematic. But glad you rechecked. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have not obviously had a chance to review the consent decree, but looking at the policies and procedures book, I see if the members would look at the table of contents, little II, it looks to me like the one that governs the distribution of literature is paragraph 26, which is on page 19. Eric, is that the correct section to look at?
That's a good question, sir. The section that I looked at was 111-02.
Where is that in
the
book?
1100, yes.
Representative Grunberg through the chair. Yes, the source document is VA Handbook 11102.
Mm-hmm.
And you are correct that paragraph 26 is the paragraph within the document referenced by Mr. Holland that addresses the issue.
May I continue, please?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, if the members would look at the that one short section of the handbook, and it says that in sub A, that the religious denominations that offer free literature, quote, the chaplains are responsible for reviewing all donated or purchased religious literature and determining its appropriate distribution. And then it says, upon a patient's request, a chaplain may provide literature that describes a particular religious or denominational viewpoint, and nothing may be distributed to interfere with patient care. And from that, it sounds to me like if a group wishes to distribute cards or Christmas cards, whatever it is, the person who determines that is the chaplain at the facility. And I'm not talking about, it doesn't sound like anybody particularly requested it, and or that anything was interfering with patient care. Christmas card would not appear to interfere with patient care. So it would look to me like subsection A governs this. And so when the question was, is there a problem with the policy, or is it somebody who does not follow the policy? It sounds to me like it's not as simple as that, because the policy leaves it up to the chaplain and doesn't provide much guidance to the chaplain. And so the chaplain might well be say that she is following the policy because the policy leaves it up to her. And the end result then, because of this policy, is that the patients aren't allowed to get the literature. So if we're going to do this, we ought to do it right and see what is going on. And I don't know what the consent decree says at all, and I don't know where you're talking about what governs the Christmas carols here. So my other question is, what governs Christmas carols? Because this is literature.
Representative Gruenberg, through the chair, the consent decree is not on this particular case. That was on the case referenced in the previous article we had looked at in the committee, where I believe it was the American Legion commander who had stated that the VA was already under a consent decree. That consent decree was under a different case, which was on caroling and not directly related to this, but tangentially related to this.
Madam Chair, it sounds like part of the, at least according to the article here, that part of the concern, at least of the resolution, was that people were not allowed to come onto the VA and sing a few Christmas carols. So that sounds like it might very well be governed by the consent decree. Am I off?
Representative Gruenberg, through the chair, I would defer to Mr. Holland on that.
Yes, Representative Gruenberg, through the chair, the issue was that at the Augusta VA with the carolers specifically, the high school kids that were to sing there, that they had specific areas that they could sing, and they had to change the songs that they were going to sing. So they had prepared, and because they weren't prepared with the songs that the VA said you could sing, there was a problem, and so they decided not to.
Madam Chair.
You know, I'm actually looking at this religious literature thing where the chaplain reviews everything, and I'm beginning to actually think that maybe we should have go back to the to ground one on this, because the idea that somebody is reviewing Christmas cards to make sure that they don't say Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah or whatever it is, I mean, I actually find that fairly offensive.
Prior restraint.
Yeah, prior restraint, not just, you know, with respect to the recipients of these cards who aren't allowed to get the cards, but a prior restraint on the freedom of the speech of the person who is sending the cards. So, Mr. LeBon.
Representative Ledoux, Madam Chairman, sorry. If the members will look at the response letter from the Department of Veterans Affairs, dated December 27th, 2013. I think they lay out a slightly better detail on the policy than is laid out in the handbook. If you look at the final sentence.
Is this the one to Mr. Mateer?
That is the one to Mr. Mateer. The final sentence in paragraph 2, as a practical matter, chaplaincy service fulfills that duty by reviewing holiday cards and determining if the cards contain religious material within them, and in the event that they do, our chaplains distribute them by asking patients on an individual basis if they will accept a holiday card with religious references.
I guess I kind of still think it's a prior restraint. It's sort of like, I look at the little cards that they put, that Alaska Airlines, maybe it doesn't do it anymore, but there used to be something on the Alaska Airlines flights, and I always figured if you didn't want to read it, you just kind of turned it over and ignored it. Representative Hughes.
And I just want to point out that Representative Foster Stafford appalled at the letter you just read from is not the overall VA. It's not on behalf of the secretary. It was coming from the North Texas, and so it really didn't lay out the policy. And I, too, once I reviewed everything, realized that the policy is actually a problem. That's why you had four locations in the United States doing these different things, because the policy needs to be readdressed. And so I had mentioned to Representative Foster, but it didn't get through for this work draft, that we reinsert the section looking back at the policy that was in the original resolution, and then make the adjustment in the one of the changes, I think, that Representative Higgins, because he talked about the established policy, that would have to be fixed accordingly, and I would suggest that. And so I guess I offer that as a conceptual amendment that we put the resolve back in that we took out, and then adjust Representative Higgins' resolve to reflect that. And then, I have another conceptual amendment, but I won't mention that one yet.
So does anybody, do you want to move that?
I move that conceptual amendment to.
Representative Ledoux, through the chair.
Yeah.
Okay, at ease.
The easiest thing to do.
This is Max Gruber. It's, of course, within the sponsor of the bill and the committee chair's prerogative what you want to do. Sometimes very short and seemingly innocuous pieces of legislation or provisions in a bill open up fairly significant issues. And here we have a situation that may fall in that category. We have the wishes of the person who sends or wants to have the document delivered, whether it's a card or whatever. That's one person whose rights have to be considered. The second is the right of the other person to receive it. The third are whether the institution and the system have any rights. They certainly do have rights if, in fact, the document, the literature, affects patient care or the safety of other patients, or the running of the institution. I don't see that as very significant here, because we're talking about a Christmas card, and I don't see that being a problem. And normally, if somebody sends a Christmas card to somebody, they have a right to have that delivered. You know, the Postal Service can't go to you and say, Gabriel, do you want to get Max's Christmas card? The thing comes to you, and you toss it if you don't like it. So I don't see that. I think the primary person to be looked at is the right of the sender to have that document delivered, and to have the institution or the chaplain saying, do you want to receive this or something? That's a serious potential infringement on the sender's right to have that free speech and have it delivered, because the patient may be bound in, lying in a bed somewhere and not able to go to the mailbox, and have somebody else say, unless you want it, you don't get it, or I don't know what goes on, but that's serious stuff.
I agree, it's serious stuff, and that's why I'd kind of like to go. I like Representative Hughes's amendment. I think there are some real problems with the, not just the interpretation of the policy, but the policy's got some problems too. Representative Sadler.
Thank you. My chance to be an amateur lawyer for a second before I get to the amendment. There might be some distinction if the letters were addressed to individual residents of the facility or addressed to the administrators of the facility for them to make the decision to pass it on to other patients or not. That might have some bearing, but I don't know. But I would ask for the record to restate your motion. Page, yeah. Line, all that good stuff.
Through the chair, my conceptual amendment is that we would go back to the version U and take the resolve that we pulled out and put it back in, and it is the one found in version U, starting on line 18, be it resolved that the Alaska State Legislature respectfully requests that the United States Secretary of Veterans Affairs reconsider the policies on holiday practices at Veteran Health Administration facilities and rewrite those policies so that the violations of veterans' rights described in this resolution do not occur again.
And that's inserted where in the bill?
And that would be reinserted starting on line 26,
Of
version N.
And I think then
in addition, we would have to change the resolved section that Representative Higgins offered, because it refers to ignoring the established policies was the problem. And I would suggest that we just have the part about training the personnel, so pare that one back.
And I would think that I would need to.
I apologize, Madam Chair. I don't know if the amendment was stated properly. You said inserted on page 26?
No, line 26.
Of page 2. Okay.
And I actually think before we have any amendments that I need to withdraw my objection to the CS, so that we have the CS before us as the working document. So I'm going to withdraw my objection.
Go ahead.
I'm going to withdraw my objection to the CS, and then Ms. Hughes, or Representative Hughes, do you want to move your amendment?
Where are we at for discussion? Are we discussing the CS, or are we discussing the amendment?
Madam Chair, I think the first question would be whether anybody else wants to object.
Okay, you're absolutely correct. I'm going to withdraw my objection to adopting the CS. Does anybody else have any objections to adopting the CS?
So if I object to adopting the CS, that we're still under a discussion of the CS, correct?
Well, we'd actually be under...
We'd be able to amend it.
Well, no. What I'm trying to get back, I'm trying to get back to the discussion of the CS. That's all I'm trying to get at.
At ease.
Okay.
To the CS. Is there any other objection to the CS?
And I object.
Thank you, Representative Higgins.
Okay. And I would just wanted to quickly get back to the purpose on our discussion was on policies. And whether or not this is an issue with the policy, or whether is it an issue with people, interpreting the policies as they see fit. And as I've read through the spiritual and pastoral care procedures, which was before us, which brought about this discussion, you got to remember on page 19, section 26, this is about religious literature that may be purchased to benefit the spiritual health of patients. That's what that whole section is about. What happened in Texas wasn't about purchased literature. It was about literature given freely to people. And so technically, this whole section does not apply to that, in my opinion. I'm not a lawyer.
Madam Chair.
Representative Grunberg.
This is not really well drafted. I think if the lawyers on this committee had been drafting this, it would have been different. The first statement is a general statement that you can purchase literature to, quote, benefit the spiritual health of the patients. Sub A doesn't deal, and that's a little bit different because we don't know who's doing the purchasing there. The question then is, can a religious denomination, which presumably had purchased the Christmas cards, can, whether they can offer them free of charge to the patients. And so that's what we're talking about here. It doesn't cost the patient any money. And it's and these other things are different. It's not a model of clarity, but I think this is governed by subsection A,
which refers to donated as well as purchased religious literature.
Yeah, and to your real question, as I understand the way things work in the federal government, Congress passes a law, and then there are regulations, and then there are policies and procedures that are written, and then there may be actual interpretation. So there are various levels. It's not, some of the people here may be on a mid-reg review. It's not just like you have a statute and then a regulation. It's more complicated. So really, the question is whether this particular policy in the handbook may violate a statute, a federal statute, or it may violate a regulation. And we don't know, and it may very well be that this little thing here doesn't do exactly what they've been instructed. I don't know.
And it may also violate the Constitution. It might violate a regulation, it may violate a statute, and it may violate the Constitution.
Madam Chair, so what we may really be doing, ultimately, is saying that Congress ought to take a look and see whether these people are violating your statutes.
Representative Higgins.
I remove my objection.
Thank you. Okay, does anybody else have any objections to the adoption of the CS? All right, the CS is now before us. So, does anybody have any questions for Mr.?
She had an amendment.
I know. Representative Grunberg. Any questions or amendments or any discussion on this? Representative Hughes.
So now, Madam Chair, I should introduce my amendment at this point. And so I am going to move a conceptual amendment to pull from page 2 of version U, lines 18 through 21, and insert them on page 2 of version N, beginning on line 26. In addition, the further resolved section that currently is between line 26 on page 2 of version N.
Wait a second, Representative Hughes. So we've got one amendment to do exactly what you said right now.
Okay, we can divide it into two.
Why don't we do that? Okay. So is there any discussion or questions about Representative Hughes's, and we'll call that amendment number, conceptual amendment number 1. Okay, hearing no objections, conceptual amendment number 1 is adopted. Did you have a further amendment, Representative Hughes?
Yes, Madam Chair. I'm not sure if I'm quite ready to move it because I need a little wordsmithing, and perhaps my friend over on my left might be able to help me with that. Because if I could first discuss it, Madam Chair, on version N, the current lines 26 on the bottom of page 2 going on to page 3, line 1, is finding the established policies a problem. No, but not the policies, not it's finding that the established policies were ignored. And so I think that I'm thinking we could cut all that out and just talk about the importance of the training personnel on the rewritten policies. so that the violations of veterans' rights do not occur again. So that, I don't know if somebody wants to try to.
Does Representative Sadler have any suggestions here?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the Chair, Representative Hughes, you should probably put that in the form of a motion first before we have the motion before us for discussion.
Okay, I move conceptual amendment 2 that lines 26 on the bottom page 2, lines 1 be changed so that it removes the portion of the further resolve pertaining to ignoring the established policy, but leaves the part of it in referring to training the personnel, which would then be on rewritten policies, so that violations of veteran rights described in this resolution do not occur again.
To that point, Madam Chair.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, the Chair, Representative Hughes. I think you're going to have to be a little precise. Which words do you want to delete? What words do you want to insert? Just making clear for the Secretary.
Through the Chair, that's what I was asking for your help. But I will try. And so, Madam Chair, I would, let's see.
Can I make a suggestion, Representative Hughes? Mm-hmm. Maybe it should read, further resolved that the Alaska State Legislature finds the violations of veterans' rights described in this resolution are unconscionable. Representative Hughes.
Yeah, thank you. That it repeats somewhat what we said in the prior, be it resolved, where we condemn the actions. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bother me if we want to say it again, but I'm thinking that further be it resolved that the Alaska State Legislature requests that the United States Secretary of Veterans Affairs ensure that personnel are trained appropriately on the rewritten policies so the violations of veterans' rights described in this resolution do not occur again.
Representative Higgins.
To throw my two cents in, I really think what we should do is just leave it alone except for one word. And that would be it. Further resolved that the Alaska State Legislature finds it unconscionable that the policies, in other words, get rid of established, because that's what the problem is, because you're saying we're going to change the rules in case they do it. Because all we're asking for with that other amendment was for them to review their policies, and they may not change a word of that. They may review and say, hey, it's good the way it is. All right? So basically, so the word that was messing this one up was established. So if we get rid of the word just established, policies of the United States Veterans Affairs on holiday practices of the Veterans Health Administration facilities are being ignored and respectfully request the United States Secretary of Veterans Affairs follow established policies. So follow the established policies, which they may or may not enact. So that first established word may be the only one to get rid of, because what the purpose behind this entire resolution is the premise that, well, the first the policies are working, we just had some individuals that weren't trained up properly to do it and are putting their own influence in on it. So what this basically is saying, listen, we want you to train up everybody properly.
The problem, Representative Higgins, is it doesn't appear that it's simply some rogue employees of the Veterans Administration. It appears as if the policies of the Veterans Administration in and of themselves, for the reasons quite well elucidated by Representative Grunberg, are unconscionable, in violation of statute, regulation, and probably the U.S. Constitution.
Well, I have to follow up on that, if you don't mind. I, to be honest with you, I'm not sure that's true, because I haven't read those policies that you've just said. You're assuming that it's unconstitutional and constable. I mean, I really don't know that, because what we've read is the handbook on the chaplains and how they are doing it. We haven't read the policies of the VA on how chaplains are to act in VA hospitals. I mean, as far as we know, the policy may be correct, but the training of the policy is the problem. And that's where we're getting into our minutia of our problems.
I have a suggestion. If we were at the beginning of a 2-year biennium, we could have a couple of hearings and see what's going on. If we want to do something now, we don't have the time to do it. So the initial choice is, and it sounds like the committee and the chair would like to do something now. So if we do something, and we could do something now and then continue with it after, you know, when we come back, that's another choice. But if we want to just do something now and move on to other issues or whatever, we could simply say at something to the effect, we can't tell what's going on, and we ask the VA and Congress to look into this and see what's going on, and if necessary, take corrective action.
You want to make an amendment to that?
Well, and that's follow-up. And that's what this further resolve says, exactly what you just said, but a little, you said it in a nicer term than what this resolve said it in.
Are we looking at your CS?
Yes. And from line 26 through 31.
I see.
That's all that is saying.
Well, if I may respond?
Go ahead.
I would say if we're going to take that route, that one thing we might do on line 28, instead of saying are, we can say maybe being ignored, because we are not sure what's happening. That would be one thing. And we could say request that the U.S. Secretary of Veterans Affairs, and that would be okay, and the training would be okay, and we might want to put something in there that Congress, in its oversight function, or Congress, take a look into the issue too, if necessary. So it's addressed to both the VA and to Congress, and have everybody take a look at it. That's the best we can do.
Mm-hmm. So do you view that as a friendly amendment to your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a problem with it, because I think that we've agreed that there's a problem, and we all looked at the procedures and just the discussion, you can tell that the procedures need to be worked on. And we can see that they need to be addressed. We don't know what layer, but we know the procedure is poor. So I had a way perhaps that we could craft this, and I can amend my amendment if we think it's a good idea, but that we could state that the procedures established by the United States Secretary of Veterans Affairs on holiday practices at Veteran Health Administration facilities are unconscionable, and just and leave it at that, because we can agree that the procedures are problematic. And if we're just allowing Congress to review it, then we're not making as strong as a statement that we say this is a problem, the procedures aren't right.
Representative Sadler and then Representative Grunberg.
Madam Chair, can I ask for a brief at ease?
Sure.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I think the right thing would be to withdraw my earlier amendment and then...
Your conceptual amendment number two.
No objection.
No objection. Withdrawn.
And then I move this amendment. What is it?
Conceptual amendment number two.
Is that what this one is? Okay, yes. I didn't know what number we're at. Conceptual amendment number two.
And I'm going to object for purposes of discussion so that you can explain conceptual amendment number two on the record.
On the record? All right. So basically what we did with that, under page two, line 26, we rewrote the resolve in that the Alaska State Legislature finds it greatly troubling that the established policies and procedures of the United States Secretary of Veterans Affairs on holiday practices at the Veterans Health Administration facilities appear to be ignored, and respectfully request that the United States Secretary of Veterans Affairs review the present established policies on the holiday practices of Veterans Health Administration facilities and train personnel on those policies so that the apparent violations of veterans' rights described in this resolution do not occur again. So.
I see also that there is following messages. Page 22.
And that's just to add music, because we seem to have missed that. Page 2, line 22. Right. Just holiday messages and music and gifts. Insert music.
So, any further discussion on this? I'm going to remove my objection. Seeing no further objections, conceptual amendment number 2 is adopted. Do we have any more amendments?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Grunberg.
During the break, I was reading this consent decree, and it doesn't relate to a VA hospital. It relates to very similar things that allegedly were going on at least one veterans cemetery, apparently in the Houston area, but the same kinds of things that are dealt with in our resolution. And this is not within the ambit of the current resolution, but maybe for next year, assuming that some of us at least will be back, this committee, and I'm sort of looking at the chair, might want to consider as an agenda item.
And I don't know what you why don't we wait until next year with that and just consider the parameters of this particular motion that we have before us.
All right.
So are there any further amendments or is there any further Representative Hughes?
Yes, in a moment I'm going to move conceptual amendment 3, and the reason I'm doing it is because the director of the Alaska healthcare, the VA healthcare system, is actually a federal employee, and what we have in here is the director of the VA that's under the state, Verdi Bowen, and he needs to receive it too. But I believe if we really are concerned about our veterans in healthcare, VA healthcare facilities, we need to make sure that the director of that facility receives it, unless I missed it. Did it?
Representative Sadler?
Madam Chair, on page 3, version N, line 15, includes Verdi Bowen, Director, Office of Veterans Affairs, Department of Military Veterans Affairs.
Madam Chair, I acknowledge that that is in there, and he is under the state of Alaska, Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and I'm suggesting that we also add the person who is at the federal level that is here in Alaska. And so I move conceptual amendment 3, that the director of the Alaska VA healthcare system and regional office be added to on page 3 in the section lines 7 through 19. And I would suggest that it be following on line 16, actually following Verdi Bowen, Director, Office of Veterans Affairs, Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, insert director, comma, Alaska Veterans Affairs healthcare system and regional office.
Okay. Any comments or objections? Hearing none, conceptual amendment number 3 is adopted. Do we have any further discussion on this issue? Because I would like to move the bill, but give the sponsor a statement, sponsor's representative a statement to make his closing comments. Representative Sadler.
With apologies, Madam Chair, I propose amendment. I would like to propose an amendment on page 3, line 16, after the word affairs, the first instance of Veterans Affairs, insert the word Alaska, such that the line 16 now reads Veterans Affairs, comma, Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, semicolon, and the Honorable Lisa. Madam Chair, my intent is clearly to acknowledge that in the list of federal offices, this one is an Alaska state official.
Thank you. Any objections? Conceptual amendment number 4 is therefore adopted. So, do you have any closing comments to make?
Yes, Madam Chairman. I would like to address a quote by General Washington, famously observed that the willingness with which our young people are likely to serve in any war, no matter how justified, shall be directly proportional to how they perceive veterans are of earlier wars were treated by their nation.
Thank you. That is very, very touching and very true. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And actually, I happened to be reading my Army magazine last night, and it was the general in command of the recruitment command who made that exact point, that compensation, propensity, and the conception of how well veterans are treated are three tremendously important components of the recruiting challenge. And so I think it's very timely that we're addressing this and sending this message out to the VA to make sure they take care, good care of the veterans.
Representative Hughes.
And I just want to thank the bill sponsor and you, Eric, for carrying this and for your patience as we work through these details. I know it's been a learning process for you, but I think this is an important message that we need to convey, so thank you.
And we are going to take one more at ease after Representative Grunberg makes this comment, because Representative Reinbold really wanted to be here to vote on this. So she's just in labor and commerce. Representative Grunberg.
I won't say she's just in labor. I just wanted to thank the sponsor and Eric and Paul for their good work. And actually, this may be the last meeting of this committee, and we should thank all the staff and the chairs. It's been a fun committee to be on.
Thank you. And we do thank all of the LIO and the recording secretary. So, Representative Sadler.
Madam Chair, are you looking for a motion to move the amended?
I was going to.
My apologies.
So, one more at ease. And can I have a motion?
I move SGR 2428 LS 1412 in out of committee with individual recommendations and amendments. Right? Is it?
As amended, right.
And accompanying fiscal notes?
And accompanying fiscal notes.
Hearing no objection, the bill moves. Thank you very much.